You're ready, sir, to... Right, over to Ginny.
Right, good morning. Welcome to Neil. Good to see you. Oh, so, I've just took my finger out of where I had it. Wait a minute. Anyway, this week's message is that nothing takes God by surprise. Isn't that good? Oh dear. So, I'm going to pray in a moment, but we're going to start with immortal, invisible. And it says, to all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but naught changeth thee. So let's pray. Lord, thank you again for bringing us all together to worship you. And Jesus, Lord, we want to thank you for this beautiful creation. Thank you that you knew us before we were in our mother's womb. Lord, thank you for this message we're going to hear, that nothing takes you by surprise. So Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us. And we worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Amen. So, immortal, invisible, God only wise.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, enlightened, accessible, hid from our
majesty. We're going to sing, O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name. And it says, O Lord, our God, the world was made at your command. In you all things now hold together.
Let us come to our Lord in believing prayer. Let us pray. Lord, forgive us when we disappoint you. We are truly sorry, and we come to you for renewal, using the word of the psalmist. Do not cast us from your presence, but Lord, create in us a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Restore to us the joy of salvation, and grant us a willing spirit to sustain us. Lord, as we worship, may we truly be empty of self, and full of the Spirit. Today we remember especially some of our friends. We think of April, and we're glad, Lord, that she is now at home, and we pray for her a complete recovery. We pray for Stuart. Oh, Lord, how we miss him. We thank you for his faith, and we pray, Lord, that you would be with him through all that he now has to face. Cancer and many other difficulties. But we thank you that he has a loving family of his own to help him. And above all, he has you, Lord, as his healer and his constant companion. We pray, Lord, for John and for Margaret. Lord, you know that they can't leave their home without help. Lord, keep them safe. Keep them from falling. Be their constant companion. And then, Lord, we pray for David. Lord, it was a disappointment to hear that his cancer has renewed. And Lord, we pray for him. We pray for his wife and for the family. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with him, that you would guide him, that you would heal him, that you would be all that he requires at this time. And Lord, we pray for each other. We pray, Lord, for Richard. We pray for Jilly. We pray for Brian. We pray for Sarah Jane. We pray for Neil. We pray for Graham. And Lord, we know Deborah's not with us today, but we would remember her in our prayers. We pray for Eunice. We pray for Rita. We pray for Jean. We pray for Sarah. We pray for Bruce. And we pray for myself. Lord, we thank you for your patience and for your caring nature. Help us, Lord, to follow your example by caring for others in need of help. Lord, may we show our love to all people without any restriction. May we seek to be Christ to all people. But Lord, to do this, we do need to be empty of self and full of the Spirit. So Lord, will you equip and empower us now, so that we may be now and forever your faithful servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bruce, can I just add to the prayers? Lord, I'd like to bring Shakila to you, our friend and neighbour, who has been told that she has an aggressive cancer, and they're just deciding on treatment for her. But we know you're a God of miracles, and Lord, we pray that you will come into her life and you will perform a miracle, and Jesus, that she will accept you as her Saviour. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to sing, "You Are Beautiful Beyond Description." And it says, "Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above."
Testament and the second one from the New, and we're thankful to Jean for reading them both. Thank you, Jean.
Well, the first one is the Old Testament, Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And then Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 10. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ.
Thank you very much, Jean.
So it says, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So we're going to sing, Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care, but now I am your son. I am adopted in your family.
Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. Father God, your lamb is ripening. I will sing your praises. I will sing your praises. I will sing your praises forevermore. I will sing your praises. I will sing your praises. I will sing your praises forevermore.
Nothing takes God by surprise. Things take us by surprise, don't they? I was thinking a little while ago that my ability to go up to Ross and Wye and see my friends Neil and Karen, the Lord knew better. To my surprise, I had a phone call from Neil to say, at the end of June, or near the end of June, I want to come down and see you for a weekend to see how you're getting on, because I know you had a difficult time. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, I never expected that. And Neil, I thank you, and I thank your dear wife, Karen, for all the entertainment, for the hospitality you've given us to date. Now, the text I share with you, first of all, is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's known surely pretty well by all of us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Wonderful, isn't it? I can't begin to tell you how that's been a challenge for me in so many ways. Now, I am told that one of the byproducts of a long-lasting marriage is the ability to anticipate what the other person is thinking, often even before the partners open their mouth. The other partner starts or competes what the other one was about to say. You know, people who live together for years are almost, it seems, able to read each other's minds and anticipate each other's activities. But you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? Because when compared to God, what God is able to do as creator of all things, he is also the possessor of all knowledge. He has all knowledge, and as creator, he created all knowledge. Theologians have labeled this attribute of God, calling it his omniscience. And God has, as we know, has infinite knowledge of all things. Yes, past, present, and future. In simple terms, nothing takes God by surprise. I want two aspects of God's infinite knowledge are emphasized in the scriptures. And those two I want to share with you this morning. First of all, nothing happens anywhere or at any time of which God is ignorant. Man cannot hide either his actions or his thoughts from God. We know, don't we, from the reading we had, King David acknowledged this in Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6. For instance, verse 1, David said, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." Verses 2 and 3, "The Lord knew every move and action that David made." He said, "You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." Verse 4, "The Lord also knew what David would say before he spoke. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it, Lord, completely." Verse 5, "The Lord had David surrounded with his knowledge and presence," because this is what he said. David said, "You hem me in from behind and before." And then in verse 6, David, in utter amazement of God's ability, he just couldn't understand it. He said, "You know, God, you lay your hand upon me. You know everything about me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. too lofty for me to attain. In other words, divine knowledge is too lofty for us men and women to comprehend. And you know, not only did David knew that God knew all about him, David knew also that God knows the hearts of all people. And I share with you Revelation 2, verse 23. I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. The thought there, isn't there, eh? Jesus, the Son of God, exhibited divine knowledge. He did this as well. And in Matthew 9:4, we read, Jesus said this, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? And later, in the book of Revelation, the Lord clearly described not only people's actions, but also their inner spiritual condition. So with regard to the seven churches in Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, the Lord said time and time again, I know your deeds. And you know, through the Bible, we repeatedly are reminded that nothing happens without God's full knowledge. That's first. Second, God is all wise in his plans and purposes. In other words, he knows all about us. Oh yes, we got no secrets from him. But we should be comforted, because God is all wise in his plans and purposes. And I personally thank God that that is true. You know, God had a plan for the nation of Israel. In the Old Testament, God told the Israelites through the prophet Jeremiah that he had plans for them. This rebellious nation had been taken away into captive, far away as Babylon. And Jeremiah, speaking for God, told those displaced Jews that they would have a future. God said, I know, I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. When I was given that verse, as I was, I thought, the person that told me that is mad. I wasn't thinking of God, I was thinking of the person that read it to me. Yes, I'd come to know God, but I got a very tainted past, if I can put it like that. And I'd taken the mickey out of lots of things and lots of people, especially people who believed in the Lord. And you know, I don't know how I got through it, but I do, because God was working and I didn't realize it. It was amazing for me, because we know that whatever our past, there is a future, and it's a great future, because God does have plans. Believe you me, each one of you, he has plans for you now. He has plans for you in the future, which could be different from what he's planning for you at the moment. But he has those plans for us. God promised Abraham that a great nation would come from his descendants. And even though the people of Israel had rebelled against God and were scattered to the far corners of the earth, their future was still secure because of God's all-wise plan that he had for bringing about his people restoration and the participation in the Messiah in the 1,000-year reign on earth. So God had a plan. God has a plan for his church today. This plan for the church is not new. In fact, it is a plan that he's had from all eternity. The Apostle Paul said it in this way. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And you know, the New Testament is filled with details about God's plans and his purposes for the church. So I want you to listen carefully to these. 1 Ephesians 1, verses 8 to 10. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the time reaches their fulfillment, that's right. And why? To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And the next one, Romans 8, 28 and 29. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God, here it comes, foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And so in closing, what does all this mean for us? Well, first of all, God's omniscience could be a problem for us if we are trying to hide some part of our life from him. You know, some people prefer to deny that God is able to know their thoughts and actions, for they think that they can go on without, they go on with life without God having any concerns about them. And there's a chappie called Francis Thompson. In a poem, he called God the Hound of Heaven. And he said this because he said that God's omniscience will hound a person until he acknowledges God's control over his life. You know, the fact that God is omniscient should serve as a restraining favour for our life. We cannot hide anything from him. I remember the time when I thought, well, I don't want God to know this. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I thought in those days God would faint if he knew. But we can't hide anything. If we are a Christian, we shouldn't be bothered by God and his honesty and his knowledge. In fact, the realization that God knows all things should give us great comfort and conscience and confidence. When we are tempted to doubt God or question his management of our life, or when circumstances look bleak, remember that God has a plan, not just for everyone else. He has a plan for you, for me, for us all. And in the end, things will turn out for the good and for his glory. What do we have to do? Well, we just have faith and trust that God knows what he is doing. Because I tell you this, God does know what he's doing, and we've got no secret from him. And here's another comforting thought. God will never forget about the day that we came to him and claimed Jesus as our Saviour. Because from that day, our name is written and preserved in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, God knows us by name, and he never forgets the name of one of his children. What a wonderful God we have. And yes, I expect we've all disappointed him at times, but you know, he loves us. And here stands one before you that knows I betrayed him. But when I began to know him as my Saviour and my Lord, I was told he must be Lord of your life. He is. And that's made all the difference. It's not me, it's God, and I praise him that he knows all, and he knows it for our benefit. He knows our name. He loves us. Oh, we couldn't have a better friend. We couldn't have a better God. For he is the only God, the living God, the God of eternity. God bless you all. Amen.
So following that wonderful message, we're going to sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise."
Take my life. Let them flow.
Singing to us, call on me to know my future plans before you.
Now, if we will join together in the circle as normal. We're going to say the grace together, aren't we? May the
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah!
I'm safe. I had the little...